Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons, here with my wonderful and talented co-host, Maria Wilson Duff. Maria, how's it going?
Hello. Everything is going wonderful. I'm on the radio show with you, and just things can't get any better except for our guest tonight, but, you know, I'm blessed.
Yeah, not much has been going on, and I think it's going fairly well for me. There's nothing terrible to report. I'm just chilling out here, playing with a fidget spinner, drinking a Diet Coke, and monitoring gamma radiation. Pretty normal stuff for me on a Sunday.
You have a fidget spinner. Notice I'm not blinking an eye at your Geiger counter, but you have a fidget spinner.
I have a fidget spinner. Somebody from work gave it to me, and what they did is they put little unicorn stickers on it. So I've got my little special unicorn fidget spinner.
Wonderful.
A great returning guest. Eric Mitchell's back.
Yes, it's wonderful. Love to listen to Eric.
So without any further ado, let's get the party started. Let's get the party around. Eric. How's it going?
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, not bad. I don't have a fidget spinner yet, but I'm thinking about maybe putting a few back here and there until I can pick one up.
I have this nervous hand thing, and it's really weird. I don't know where it came from. Ever since I was a small child, it first started off with rubber bands. I got to like twirl it in my fingers and wrap it around my fingers. And then when I didn't have rubber bands, I started just decimating my socks. You know, you get a little hole and then I found the newest, somebody introduced me to the newest, greatest thing. They were buying me, you know, yards of yarn, and I'd cut them off in segments. And so now I'm like I got this freaky hand thing. I don't know what the deal is. Twirling.
Ass. Slight anxiety. It's probably all that is.
I think Jason needs a warning label. He's in rare form tonight, so watch out.
It's a paranormal radio show. It's a given, you know.
This is true.
Speaking of the paranormal, I haven't noticed anything paranormal. Oh, wait, no, I did notice something slightly paranormal. And I want you guys' input on this. So my girlfriend moved into a house, and I could kind of detect some vibes on the outside of the house. And I swear when I walked in, I took one look at the kitchen and just got that sensation I'm very familiar with, is like somebody's died in the kitchen. And this happened to me several times before. I'm like, yeah, somebody's died in this room. And then it turns out, come to find out, that somebody's actually died exactly where I said. I don't want to say I'm psychic, or maybe I'm just sensitive to certain energies, but that's the sensation I got. And I'm positive somebody died in the house. Would that be some sort of like psychic thing, or is that just somebody that's just sensitive to the energies? What do you think, Eric?
Oh, I think everybody has that ability. I think we all have that ability. It's just, you know, you feel someone staring at the back of your head. You turn around and some stranger's looking at you. You think about an old friend and your phone rings, it's them. We all have these sporadic, you know, times where things happen and we go, whoa, that, that just happened, but I'm totally not going to tell anybody because of the, you know, the giggle factor involved in everything, which I think is totally redundant. But look at starlings, you know, look at nature itself when it comes to these natural abilities. I mean, starlings can fly like a giant black cloud, change direction, make figure eights, and do all these things. And not one bird is, you know, is harmed or bleeding or hurt. It's just a unison type of thing. Not to mention the electromagnetic field of the Earth will tell any bird what direction to fly in, you know, and what time of year, you know. So these things in nature, it's all over the place. But as human beings, we have this complex where we're not sure about our identity, really. I mean, you can walk up to your favorite flower. It could be a tulip or anything and say, hey, tulip, I want you to be a rose. It's going to ignore you, and it's going to open up and do what it does, and it's got no problem with who or what it is. And so I think we're the only species on the planet that has that that kind of a problem.
What do you think, Maria?
Oh, yeah, I think everybody has that type of ability as well. I can remember, and you don't think much about it when you're little, but you'll hear someone call your name and there's nobody around, you know, things like that. I think we all have it. We just tend to grow up and ignore it because there's always an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody tells
yeah.
you, oh, don't think about it. So you just move on.
Dang, I was kind of hoping I was going to be special. Now everybody's got my gift.
You, Jason, sweetheart, you are very special.
One
so
of a kind,
I,
my
I,
friend.
I know, thank you. What do we want to talk about tonight? There's so much going on out there.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, there really is. There really is. And, you know, guys, lately I've been really looking at science, quantum physics, electromagnetic fields, all kinds of things that, you know, we look at things in a certain way at a certain age, and then we walk away and say, okay, I've looked at that. I've looked at it. I know what there is to know about this. But as we grow and we look back again and go, wow, there's so much more with a new perspective to tackle this thing. So I think it's been pretty neat journey looking into all that science that can explain a lot of these paranormal events.
That's one thing that I've never understood is all this quantum mechanic and string theory. It's like some people are just born with that level of intelligence where they can grasp that. Me, I'm still trying to figure out very simple things like why the sky is blue. That's my level of intelligence.
Be careful. It could happen to you what happened to me. And that kind of intelligence change overnight is – in the movies, it looks really, really neat, but in real life, it is a terrible adjustment to make. But yeah, I mean, I was literally knocked down by what, you know, specialists and everybody else would call a UFO. And this thing knocked me down with this intense vibration and frequency. I felt my body kind of rock back and forth as if there was a giant magnet, you know, just kind of guiding me a little bit, and I had a slight loss of vision, so I had to get reading glasses. And funny enough, I can see far away and up close with reading glasses. And so I was speaking to a physicist not too long ago, and he goes, you know, everything that you're saying is scientifically, you know, correct. And I said, whoa, how could you say that? This is something paranormal that people don't understand, and you can map that out through science. And he said, yeah, there's microbial pieces of, you know, magnetic hemoglobin in your eyeballs. If you get really close to a really powerful electromagnetic field, you'll have immediate loss of vision, but it's going to be even with farsightedness and shortsightedness. And I went, what? Well, that makes sense, you know, and I'm like, go on. He said, also with your hemoglobin, you would think that you have, excuse me, these particles of, you know, people will tell you your iron's getting low and stuff like that. We do have tiny, tiny amounts of iron in our bloodstream inside our hemoglobin. But the funny thing is, instead of it being attracted to magnetic energy, it actually repels away from magnetic energy. So if you had a strong enough field, it would literally make you feel like you're rocking back and forth or pushing you away from it as if you were magnetic itself. So I thought those two things were, you know, 6 years into not understanding a thing about what happened to me scientifically. And here this guy is just telling me, you know, one after the next and showing me models of these electromagnetic currents and how they act and everything. I just found that really fascinating. Guys, I know I'm a nerd, but to have something like that explained to me in a scientific terms instead of having such just wonder and fear, you know, having it explained, it just feels a lot better. It fits now, if that makes any sense.
That must be a really powerful magnetic force to do that. I was just in an MRI, you know, and I don't remember.
Right.
That it must be a lot more powerful than MRI, and that's powerful. I think it's measured in Teslas, but don't quote me on that. I'm not a science person.
I believe you're right, yeah. Yeah, and it must be. Because you think about, you put 17,000 gallons into a giant rocket just to shoot it up in space. That's a ton of energy. And here this thing is, completely silent, and shooting straight up into the atmosphere. So, you know, with the blink of an eye. So it's got to be just an unbelievable amount of energy, which would, you know, have to be, in my case, more likely electromagnetic force beyond our own comprehension.
Hmm. You've had enough medical problems to hit you from that moment on. It's a wonder that you don't have your degree and you are a doctor now.
Well,
I mean, it's crazy, the stuff that you've gone through.
Well, Marie, you know, I've suffered a bit of savant syndrome. And when you go from just simple, you know, redneck guy out in the middle of Arkansas, and all of a sudden you've got this expansive consciousness, you know, you want to read as much as possible anyway. So, you know, I've read through all these medical journals and just anything that interests me. But now I'd be really good at Jeopardy and nothing else. So it really didn't help out a whole lot.
Watch out, Jason. He's coming after your job, dude.
Oh, no. Another Jeopardy fan.
So what were these? Now, we probably have talked about it in the past, but it's been a while. Can you add some detail to that experience? What did this craft look like? What were the circumstances surrounding you, and were there any direct after effects?
Yeah. Well, it was the third time I saw this object. I actually knelt down to tie my shoe, and I started feeling this rumbling sensation on the top of my head. You know, kind of like a rock speaker, you know, just the vibration type. And all of a sudden, it felt like someone had turned the knob up all the way, and I completely went the rest of the way to the ground. I was so engulfed that you could have kicked me like a football. I wouldn't have felt a thing. The only thing I could push through my brain is, oh, my God, I'm being killed. You know, everything was just fine, and all of a sudden, I'm in this situation. So it's just a huge shock to the brain. I remember I knew I was throwing up because my throat was open for an extended long period of time. You know, I didn't know I was throwing up, but I knew my throat was open for a long time, so I knew that was happening at the time. And my nose and left ear were bleeding, and I pushed myself up off the ground and looked above me to see where this was coming from, and it was this object. It was about 45, you know, in diameter and feet. And it looked like a miniature sun. It was just orange, circular, spherical. And it had kind of a hazy, waving bubble around it, kind of rippled like water. And by the time I looked up at it, it just shot away faster than, you know, any aircraft we are known to have. I was pretty much hurt everywhere. My skin was red in a lot of places, like a sunburn. That went away in a few days. But it was a lot like a heat stroke. If you've ever, you know, been out in the heat and worked too much, I mean, you just can't get enough fluids in you. You get basketball stomach because you're not absorbing it. And you just keep, you know, the fluids down and all that. But I was very, very traumatized. I crawled into the bathroom in my apartment, found that cold floor like a drunk person would, and just passed out. And I woke up the next day around 5 a.m. in a dead panic. You know, I had blood, not to be gross, but blood and vomit all over my clothes. So I fully clothed, got into the shower, and just lay there until the warm water ran out. And, of course, you know, that following day, you're thinking, you know, should I go to the emergency room? Should I go see a doctor? You know, I'm panicking, just anxiety out of my mind. I'm a laid-back guy. I don't do anxiety, but, you know, I think that really called for it. But, you know, my reasoning started kicking in and said, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, what if I go see a doctor and tell him this just happened to me? You know, am I going to end up in a nut ward? You know, are they going to, you know, feed me Jell-O and meds for the rest of my life? Actually, now that I think about that, I probably should have, you know, Jell-O and meds for the rest of my life. Who can who can turn that one down? You know, the older we get, you know, we had that opportunity, but passed up on it. But yeah, that I was kind of battling a cognitive dissonance of going into the doctor and having him check me out and everything. But later on, I thought, oh, my God, I have a brain tumor. I watched the movie. What is that movie?
Phenomenon?
Yeah.
Talk about John Travolta.
Talk about the worst movie I could ever watch at that given time. Because by the end, I'm like, I have a brain tumor and I'm going to die. You know, there was no light in the sky. There was, you know, it really freaked me out. thankfully, over time, you know, I found my way, I guess. But trauma like that, it never goes away, you know, and you go outside and everybody's looking at their cell phones and you're looking up like, oh, my God, I hope nothing happens to me. So it's not a fun life to live. It's not a club that everybody signs up to be in. But, you know, you learn coping skills. And like what I do to help myself out is I help other people like me, mainly suicidal people that are having a really hard time or just people that are in just immense crisis. And since I know the emotional process and what you go through, it's a lot easier for me to help these people. And at the same time, yes, I'm ripping my heart back open, reliving these things myself, but I'm also learning so much more from so many different perspectives that it kind of helps me get a better picture. You know, fear only exists when we don't know. You know, there's some people that'll jump out and swim with sharks. Me, you, Maria, probably not. We'd be scared out of our minds. But if you know everything there is to know about a shark, you know, you could swim with them and be just fine. But if you have that big blank spot, like, what if, it always represents fear in your mind and your heart until you really get a clearer picture about what's going on. So it's a double-edged sword, but it helps other people, and it does help me as well.
It almost sounds like you've had acute radiation sickness from that initial encounter.
Right, yeah. They say, you know, the people I've talked to said it's a possibility, but then again, it could be other things. And so I can never say for sure. I always have more questions than answers. You know, I wish I could be – actually, I don't. I don't wish I could be one of these experts or specialists, because they don't say the three words that I use often, which is, I don't know, you know. And I think that's important when you're dealing with any subject matter, you know, especially science or medicine or – things that truly affect people in life that face ridicule. it's highly difficult. You know, you get up every day thinking you live a normal life, you know, trying to trick yourself, but it's not the case.
That is the hardest part, because you are still living this life. You still have to have a job. You still have to eat. You still have to have transportation. So even though your whole world is actually everything that has happened to you, you have to not show that into the rest of the world.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a very, very important thing to say, you know, and I call it the duality, because here you are with this secret life that you really can't tell anyone over, you know, the basis of ridicule and everything like that. You still have to get up and go to work. You still have to conduct your life as if nothing happened. And in the beginning, I was not really good with that. I was not good with that at all because, you know, guys, when you have really bad anxiety and you think you've got that crap under control, but everyone else can see it, that's, you know, kind of what happened to me. You know, I had friends pull me aside and go, what's going on with you, man? You seem jittery, you know, are you on medication? And I'd be embarrassed. Like, how do I answer this question? You know, of course I'm not, you know, taking medication or any of these things, you know, but yeah, I just, you know, I get to the point and say, well, you know, I'm coming up with a little bit of anxiety problems going on and I'm sure it'll go away. But, yeah, I just felt like a fool. I felt like I wasn't in control of myself. And, I tried to hold the fort down as a single father. It kind of helps you push a little bit harder than what you normally would to maintain some sense of normalcy, you know, in the home and everything. And at the time I was just, you know, struggling trying to pay bills and everything, and I really didn't need you know, this in my face. I think I struggled for quite some time with a fantasy of mine. I had a fantasy. I'm not a fantasy prone person, but I had a fantasy that I was going to go to a psychiatrist, get diagnosed with something that I haven't heard of before, get on medication, and maybe 6 months to a year, you know, I'd be better. You know, this is something delusional, and you know, being a single father with a lot of pressure on me, that's probably what it is. You know, and that's what I wanted to believe so bad. But, you know, the other witnesses, the people that would show up to see this object, the people that would record them, and including me, I'm having these thoughts or this fantasy that I wish, you know, that I was nuts. And at the same time, I've got picture and video on my phone. So it really is a strong social stigma. And I was not going to go without a fight because anytime I heard people throughout my life say anything about a UFO, I'd look at them like they were nuts, you know, and I couldn't fathom that any of that stuff was true.
Well, the worst part about it, too, is that your family was involved. Your children were involved. They were witness to quite a few disturbing things.
Yeah. And that is the worst part, because you don't want to be a parent and not have the ability to protect your children from something you couldn't possibly understand. And I know there was one morning where all three of us woke up with a gash on the same part of our forehead, completely missing. And this is the time where I'm speaking to my investigator and I'm listening to what he's having to say. And he's saying, you know, they abduct people, right? And I'm going, come on, not this. You know, I'm not, there's no way, you know, thank you for calling me on the phone and talking to me about this subject. I'll pick through what I think is rational and the rest I'm going to leave out. But abductions, that's not rational. But time and time again, it would happen. And I mean, like one morning, hundreds of holes, not little pock marks, not a cat scratch. I'm talking about holes big enough to where you can fit an entire drop of water inside of. There was close to 200 on each arm from shoulder to elbow. It's isolated in only those two areas, in the two arms. And I woke up with my daughter screaming. She had the same thing in the same areas. And, of course, I rushed her to the doctor. I've known him for, you know, like 15 years. We've golfed and stuff like that. And he looked at that as a pediatrician for 30 years. He said, good Lord, what is eating you? What is this? They should have been bleeding or at least pussing, but they weren't doing either because the skin was so dehydrated. And, you know, he looked at me and said, I've never seen a bug like this, a rash like this. Anything, you know, was she exposed to anything? And of course I pulled up my sleeves and I showed him, you know, me too. And he said, only in these areas. And I said, yeah, that's it. The only spot. And he said, how did your skin get so dehydrated? He said, that's the only reason why they're not bleeding right now. And I said, I have no idea. You know, I just woke up. I saw him on my arms. I heard my daughter screaming. I went in there and it was on her. So he was really upset about it, told us to get, you know, vitamin E oil for scarring and a few other things from Walmart. And if anything persists or happened or if it would kind of spread, then he would set us up with a dermatologist. But that was kind of the end of that. It took about 3 weeks to a month for him to actually start bursting open and literally leaking blood down my arms and down her arms. But it is the worst part. It is the worst part. It's like, look, do what you want with me, but not my kids, you know. And that's a very scarring thing. It really is. You know, I think back and wish, you know, that maybe that could have just been some kind of made up something. You know how you second guess yourself even though you know you're right? I think it's a stigma that we all have, but I look back and of course there's evidence, there's pictures and videos and this and that. But the older you get away from it, the more you just wish it never happened. But on the other side of the fence, I look with, you know, what I do for people and helping them, and I can benefit them with that. And they don't have to be so lost. So, like I said, it's a double-edged sword. It's very, very difficult. But just like an amputee survivor, you know, you can learn to survive anything.
How often do things happen?
Sorry, what, Jason?
How often do things happen? I mean, do you think you're being contacted on a regular basis, or?
Well, no. I mean, things will slow down and then kind of pick up. The good part is most of the time you don't really know, you know. You can kind of tell if you wake up in the morning and you hear a loud pop or boom or something like that, and you're hanging upside down from a chandelier. Most likely your subconscious is a little stressed out, you know. So it's very elusive, but there are some times where, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, I was just sitting outside and I saw this whole fleet, and they were just kind of just scattered out there. They look just like stars. If you look at them and you don't know your star constellations, they look like stars. And they just kind of dispersed very quickly and lined up and took off the direction I was facing. So it's like, you know, you can call these things weather balloons, swamp gas, or whatever, but I've seen it enough times to know that, I came out for a quick smoke, and these things were right above me. So, of course, I know what FFA lights look like and all that good stuff. But these were, you know, they're just, you know, they look like spheres, glowing spheres. I know it's not the traditional. When people say UFO to me 6 years ago, I would think of a silver disc, you know, just kind of skipping around. But to me now, UFOs are very much spherical or triangular shaped.
Now it looks like we do have a caller that's been on hold. Are you open for questions? I don't know. They may just be listening to me. Are you open for questions?
Do you think you would like to answer questions from a caller, Eric?
Sure, no problem.
Okay.
All right. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this? Hello? Hello? Could it be aliens? Possibly. Okay, we'll put them back on mute.
Yeah.
The ETs are trying to contact us.
Jason, you are the biggest skeptic in the world, but this fascinates you tremendously because you've had experiences that you blow off.
No, I'm not listening. No.
No, we're experts at that. I mean, we can definitely have an experience and spend a year or two just rationally explaining it away until it fits nicely in our minds and we don't get to lose our worldview, and that's really awesome. But, you know, there's others out there that you know, I fought it like crazy. I was a champ. I mean, I went 12 rounds with this thing. I was going to win, but these things, whatever they are, they weren't going to let me. So I fought a tooth and nail, but I'm not a believer. I've never been a believer in UFOs. I went from highly skeptical, wouldn't even think about the subject, to absolutely knowing, with beyond any equivocation of a doubt. And it changes everything that you look at, everything that you experience. You know, nothing is the same. And I think our brains try to protect us from that transition, because it is extremely traumatizing to change that quickly, change the way you view things that quickly, without a objective sense of what you're, you know, experiencing through life. And so instead of being on top of things, you've got to run around and catch up with this newfound reality that you never asked to have in the first place.
I haven't noticed anything alien related in like 20 plus years. And so I think the aliens, they just got sick of me and they're like, you know what, forget this Jason dude. He's not worth our time.
Yeah, you probably bored them.
Probably.
But, you know, there's, when you were talking about how to get your mind to understand the things that are going on, I know there's people deal with owls, and they say that since their mind can't wrap around the fact that they're standing there looking at an alien, that they see this big 3 to 4 foot tall owl staring at them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
that's right.
Your mind has to do things to protect itself, or otherwise you would go completely insane.
It does.
What
well
stops
known in the military.
That from happening? I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, it's well known in the military that hallucinations happen, you know, on the battlefield, where they can almost see their mother in the kitchen, you know, cooking, and you can almost smell the apple pie in the window while you're being shot and shot at, because your mind cannot handle that kind of trauma. So it just kind of curls back to a safe place so it can balance itself off. Now, of course, there's other things, you know, speculatory things like screen memory and stuff like that, where it's believed in ufology that our minds are being tricked by an external source. Which is, you know, it. Now that I've looked at neuroscience, I really think that's a huge, huge possibility with that kind of technology. There's a guy, let's see, he's an experiencer as well. His name's Gary Nolan at Stanford University. I think he's got like 7 PhDs. He's been a professor there for 40 years. I mean, the guy's got a few credentials, you know. But he's been scanning a lot of people's brains like mine. And what he's finding is there is a, under the MRI, he's picking up a hertz range coming from the human brain. And, of course, we all know there's no mechanism in the human brain that can create sound. And he's also got a control group of, I think he said, 70 people that were not experiencers. So after all these brain scans, he's looking at it, and he finds in the basal ganglia, that's going to be the right hemisphere of the brain, branching upward and outward like a malignant tumor that he initially thought was white brain matter, dead brain matter, but he kept seeing it over and over and over again in experiencers and not within the control group, the people that weren't experiencers. And he started to find that it was branching off into the basal ganglia area, where it's believed that we have psychic and empathy and things that are taboo these days, but also, you know, the ability to quickly make judgment without having to, assess what we're supposed to be doing with that judgment, you know, just a quick right answer without knowing where it comes from. It also branches off into the caudate putamen area, which is, you know, mainly known for motor function, but now they're finding a lot more things out about that. So it's just amazing how he did that, you know. And he went to Harvard University, did a talk in front of a lot of scientists and neurologists and things of that nature. But he left out the experiencer part. he dropped that bomb at the very end. He dropped the mic and walked out. And so, of course, he had to get everyone intrigued. And I think the way he went about it was just genius. But there's also, you know, other people. Kit Green, he actually works for the CIA at the quote-unquote weird desk, and he's studying this kind of thing in people now. And a man in Mexico, I think his name is Sixto Paz, he's also, you know, doing these brain scans and looking at anomalous activity. So I think, you know, in science alone right there, that's showing something that either could be genetic or is grown consciously through the experiences that you have. Either way, you can isolate a gene, or you can look at the map of someone's brain and actually tell now whether they've had these experiences or not, which I think is incredible. I mean, that's, you know, a huge leap in science. And those are the hardest people to really push over into understanding that this is real, you know, because they won't even look at it. You know, if UFO came out of their mouth, they'd be clenching their PhDs with their dear lives. So I can understand that, you know, standpoint, but leave it to an experiencer to go out there and say, I don't care what people think about me. I'm going to find this under a microscope. I'm going to make sure people understand that this is real. Because, you know, what if cancer was taboo and people were dying left and right and they all called you crazy for having it? You know, even your own family, even the only, you know, the person you sleep with and love at night thinks you're crazy because you have cancer. That would be a really crappy world to live in. So people like myself have a huge, huge drive to, you know, help push this kind of thing over the edge.
Well, I know the field of ufology, and I'm doing air quotes because it's
I know, I saw
you know,
them.
It's crazy.
It is.
You've got the old school, and what you were talking about, the experts,
yes.
They shun you. They shun
yes.
experiencers. They don't
mm-hmm.
believe it because it doesn't fit into all of their so-called research. But now
right.
you've got this new group moving in, and they're screaming, you know, we need scientific evidence. We need this. We need that. But they're still not bringing the experiencers to the table. I mean, sure, you've got Travis Walton. You've got people like that. But they're not saying, okay, well, let us learn from you.
Right.
And I think it's kind of wonderful that you are taking your steps on your own. You've got your scientific evidence.
Yeah. And, you know, I did. I've got a bad taste in my mouth when it comes to a lot of ufology. I mean, I got very, very sick. At first, I was threatened that I would be sick. And then I got really bad sick and moved in with the head of Starborn Support. She ran a support group for abductees, which I thought was great. I've never heard of anything like that before. And she ended up dating Travis, and Travis lived in the, you know, the house with us, which was interesting. I mean, I got to know the man for 6 months, and you know, a lot about him. And of course, I talked to him a lot about what happened to me. And of course, we'd go to conferences, you know, as a group, and somehow had the respect of some ufologists. You know, they've heard of me. They knew there was a case going on. But behind closed doors, you know, the whispering, the pointing of the fingers, it's like children pulling each other's hair in the sandbox over a piece of candy. And, you know, some of them wanted to cart me around and put me on stage and, you know, make money and write a book about me and all this stuff. And so I had to be a bit stern about the game that they're playing because, you know, this is people's lives, you know. And I guess they had this assumption that I wanted to be this you know, Mr. Popular or Mr. Famous or make a bunch of money and all that stuff. I mean, money is important. Yeah, I do like to eat every now and again. I have everything I own in a bag, and I appreciate everything I have in a bag, and I can't think of any physical item that I would really yearn for. My passion is to have a five-year-old little kid call me on her cell phone and say, thank you for helping my mommy and daddy. They don't fight anymore. So even though that's not on screen or published, or written in a book, I'm gaining a lot of knowledge and I'm saving a lot of families and a lot of lives. And, not a lot of people can say that. So, I hold that dearly to my heart that these people really turn around. It saves marriages. One spouse is always skeptical about things that go on. So I've got to get the whole family on the phone and try to work these things out. So that to me is really important. You know, when I look at ufology and go, wow, I could have took that route. I could have had $1 million in the bank by now. I could have been so popular. Everybody would have loved me, No. I mean, that has no taste. It has no depth. And it's got no, it's just hollow compared to the work that I'm doing.
Well, everybody loves you anyways, but whether you have $1 million in your bank account is a whole different story.
I like money.
One
of the things that I've always found fascinating, and the thing that really interests me with regards to the UFO phenomenon, is the people that have had experiences and then they have these strange interactions with government agents or men in black. Have you ever had any contact with some sort of clandestine government organization, maybe catching them, putting you under surveillance or any weird interactions like that?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely do that. I would urge people not to think of it as a threat. I would really urge people to think more of a monitoring program where the subject should not know they're being looked at. But I had my neighbor, Debbie, she was a porter at the Lakeshore condos just down the street. And what she would do is just go in and change the sheets and the soaps out, make sure the room was nice. And it's a small town that I live in, in a place like Vegas, this wouldn't even be possible. But she went into the room to clean it out, and there's pictures and all kinds of stuff of me and my children everywhere we went, everything that we did on the bed. And there's a ledger right there saying, everything that I did, what time I went to work, what time I got off, what kind of cigarettes I smoked. I mean, really detailed stuff. So she panicked, got on her phone and called me and said, Eric, this guy is stalking you and the kids. He's got pictures of you at Walmart, everywhere you go. And I said, Debbie, hang up the phone, go to the office and get that man's name. I need it. And it turned out to be Lieutenant Colonel Dallas C. Wood of the United States Pentagon. So that was my first understanding that there was something going on. And you know what, guys? I did not get one phone call from anybody, in late 2016 when they announced that there was a Pentagon program studying this kind of thing. I was telling everybody. I was doing public speaking all over New England. And the biggest problem people had about my life was, no, it's Area 51. They're not doing this in the Pentagon. And I'm just urging ufologists. I'm like, guys, you have to listen to me. It's a Pentagon thing. I've caught these people red-handed. But another thing is the helicopter treatment. I've lived in three different states since this has happened. These military helicopters will fly up usually after you have an experience. When I mean experience, I'm just saying that if these things come out of the sky and hover over your house or hover over your yard, they are picking them up with this new radar system that they have, and they fly out immediately. As soon as you have a non-responsive aircraft in our airspace anywhere here in America, it's a national security threat, and it's taken very seriously. So these guys will fly out and literally spotlight you in front of your neighbors and everybody else, for an extended period of time and fly away. Now, you would think they would come to your door and knock, and just like in the movies, we've been tracking them for a while. No, that's not what happens. You get no explanation from the helicopter treatment. As a matter of fact, Kathleen Martin, she is a little funny story, guys, but don't try to picture what I'm telling you. I was at Audrey's Hewen's house, and I had gotten into the bathroom. and jumped in the shower. I've got a skylight right over the shower, and I'm soaping up, and all of a sudden I hear thump, 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 really loud, you know, and I can feel the vibration on my chest. So I get the soap out of my eyes, and I look up through the skylight, and here's a Black Hawk helicopter so close that, you know how the glass is on the bottom. You can literally see the bottom of his combat, you know, boots in this helicopter, and it's just hovering over me. And the only thing I could do is to give the guy the bird, just flip him off, you know. It's just very, very crowded. So yeah, I'm just standing there with no dignity left in my life whatsoever, you know, and I just flipped this guy off. Well, in the meantime, I had no idea, but this is, I love to find humor in things. It really helps you get by. But in the meantime, Travis and Audrey had gone outside with their camera phones, and they're taking pictures of this helicopter. And Audrey elbows Travis and says, "Oh my God, they're right over the skylight where Eric's taking a shower." so later on, Kathleen Martin was looking for a picture to put in her book to, you know, give illustration to show people that, yeah, this is what happens to experiencers. They're monitored, but they're not really talked to. They're not engaged with. So Audrey's like, "Yeah, I got plenty of pictures of this stuff," and gave her that one. And she put that particular picture in one of her books. So if you're ever reading one of her books and you see a helicopter hovering over a house, a Black Hawk helicopter, that's me, butt naked, in the shower, just below that particular picture. So, you know, little humor backstory, but 100% true. Yeah, it really, really, really ticks me off that there are people, you know, in our government, our patriots, that you know, stand to protect and serve the citizens of the United States. But when it comes to this, this is how they handle it. You know, they watch you in hopes that they'll catch activity, from what I've seen it. But I have talked to people high up in the intelligence community, you know, scattered out over time. And a lot of those guys, what they do is they want to lie to you. That way you run straight to ufology and spread those lies. And that's how ufology gets really screwed up with their information. It's happened to Stephen Greer. It's happened to Linda Moulton Howe. It's happened to a lot of people that want to be honest and want to get the right stuff out there, but they get duped by the intelligence community. But there was only one guy. He turned out to be right about everything he was telling me, but he wanted to get the most, how do I put this? The most recorded cases in America, and he wanted to get us all together. Jack and Jim Weiner from the Allagash abductions, I believe that was in 1972, Allagash, Maine. We got Audrey and Debbie Hewens. We had Travis Walton. We had myself and a few others that they deemed to be highly credible people. We all met at the Allagash twins' house, Jack Weiner. A wonderful man, by the way. My gosh, he's just an amazing person. We were out there for about 3 days, and you know, he pulled out an 8x10 manila envelope and said, "Have you guys ever seen one of these things?" And here it is, nothing but black sky in the background and a perfect orange sphere just hovering there. And I said,
Wow.
I pulled out my $10 Walmart phone. It was my first smartphone ever. Had a total intervention when I got home one day from work. My kids had bought it, and they said, "Dad, you have to come with the times, you know, technology." So at that time, I didn't even, you know, I had to learn all these 10 buttons I didn't want to learn. But I did eventually learn my camera, and I was able to film these things. So I pulled this old phone out, and it had a tiny screen and everything, and I showed him. I said, "Yeah, like this." And he grabbed my phone from me, and he said, "Where did you get this, the internet?" And I said, "No, I took a picture of it. It was in my yard." And he pulled up his photo. He said, "This came from a $4 million camera on a $15 million plane, and it took us months to get close enough to take this picture." He said, "You're going to tell me that you took this picture in your yard?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Pull it up. You know, pull up the information. It tells you the date, the time, when I took the picture. The phone did take this picture." So he pulled it up. He looked at it. And he just went from the nicest guy in the world to incredibly frustrated because, you know, that really tells these people in intelligence that they have this big job to do to figure out what these things are, and but they're engaging not with military people, but with average, you know, citizens. But he did tell me that, I think this was, 2013, just at the end of summer, I believe. But he did tell me that there was going to be some intelligence officers. They were going to get together. They were going to do a lot of, news stations and try to slowly, quote unquote, weather this into the public. And he talked about, the Navy that was going to go ahead and put up a reporting center and make it better for the military and kind of slowly, you know, weather it into people's consciousness so they can slowly integrate their thought system into this, you know, subject is real. And I mean, he went on to tell me a lot of other things, but everything he told me was true, which is unlike any intelligence person I've spoken to before. So much respect to that guy. You know, he was actually doing the right thing.
And we're starting to see
that
more and more of it come out.
Yes, yeah, it is. It is.
Years
later. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Fun fact, though, if you look at TTSA, which, gosh, you know, I'd hate to point fingers and pick on people, but it, from what I know, something's not right about all this stuff. I mean, you run a Pentagon program with all your resources. You're in the Pentagon. You can pick up the phone and call any Air Force base you want and say, put two birds in the sky right now. Here's the coordinates, you know. You have all the resources in the world to study this particular subject. And he walks out of that job for, I think, 10 years running this program, and now he's on the History Channel pretending to do an investigation on a sighting. And I'm going, wait a minute, what? Something's not right here. I emailed the guy, and I said, did you send helicopters to my home and gave him the location and everything like that? And he emailed me back, the next day, which I was excited to read, and I pulled it open really fast, and he said, according to my non-disclosure agreement, I cannot discuss any of this. Now, you have to think about how these people talk. They have an NDA. They have to be careful about what they say, and what he very well could have said is, no, I don't know anything about that. But what he did say was, I have a non-disclosure agreement, and I cannot talk about that. So that kind of smacked me in the face. You know, if he was in the same room, he would have seen me jumping off of walls. I mean, I could have been in a Red Bull commercial because I would have lost my mind. So little things like that pop up. But it actually originated in the early 2000s with InterNASA. InterNASA, if you spell it out, I can never remember the acronym right. But if you spell it out, it's basically to the Stars Academy of Arts and Science. And there was a particular gentleman involved, a very, very brilliant man. I'm not going to say his name on air because, you know, I don't know if he'd be comfortable with that. But a brilliant computer genius, brilliant physicist, just blows your mind, you know, when I talk to him about science. And that was the original team. Now, he didn't tell me this, but if you get on Google, you look at InterNASA, and you look at the plans that they had to go take this stuff public and everything like that, you go, oh, no, these people stole the entire program from this guy. And they got everything but his technology. So it's always good to do a little backstory and look into things and be careful. You know, I think, you know, from watching Luis Elizondo on TV, he seems like a really great, genuine guy. But I think he might be involved in something that might not be so genuine. But we'll see in the future. My biggest worry is, from what I've been told, they're going to push for nukes. They're going to push for war. They're going to push for us going, you know, after these things with impunity. And I think that would be a very, very naive idea when it comes to looking at this kind of thing.
Well, it also makes you wonder how much disinformation that they're shoving down our throats right now, too. I mean, they're come out with the Tic Tac video and things like that, but it's they're never, I mean, they are not ever going to come out and tell us what they're into and what the truth really is that they're dealing with.
Right.
And then, of course, the threats that they keep talking about.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing, you know, if you have a military mind or if your mind is shaped like a hammer, every single problem you have has to look like a nail. And that's what scares me, is because this is agenda stricken for war. It has nothing to do with bringing people like me forward and the hundreds of thousands of Americans forward and say, hey, you know, this is all a real thing. This is a separate effort, and it's a military effort only. So, yeah, you really got to worry about that, because there's military projects in the past where they were literally blowing up nuclear weapons in our atmosphere. Now, I've spoken to some of these old-timers, and, you know, they'll sit there and say, we're just trying to squash us and bugs, you know. So that's scary. You know, we're going to start that again. You know, is this our agenda? I hope to God not. But from what I was told, that's the whole plan, is to get this war started.
See, that's just crazy. The threat that I keep thinking that they're more worried about is everybody kind of waking up and turning against them.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of everybody being the followers of the mainstream media and listening to everything that they have to say.
Well, it seems to be working really well. You know, Project Mockingbird, where, you know, the news is hijacked, and wow, the people follow. I mean, it's insane what's going on right now with how brainwashed people really are with the news. And then I turned the news on and I saw some of it.
It was laughable, wasn't it?
Yeah. I could not believe how far, you know, they're bending the old spoon. And, I mean, you got to think about it. You know, this has probably been going on our whole lives. Project Mockingbird happened a long time ago, and it's been well within a CIA type of implementation. Can't even say that word, tripped over it, for a long time. So I don't see it stopping. And for, you know, governments to be manipulated and all this stuff, it just scares me, because, you know, there's more racism than I think I've ever seen in my life. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought this was getting better, you know, but there's all this hatred, all this division going on, and it's highly effective, you know, and that's what's scary. People don't have discernibility, and they just take what they're told and run out in the streets with it. And my gosh, you know, it worries me to death. What do you think, Jason? Is the world going nuts?
Yeah, it's just going to go downhill. We're not going to, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. If it's going to be a UFO invasion or catastrophe or some super virus that the government's created. But I hate to be all doom and gloom, but I think we're all pretty much screwed.
But you're going to have your uniform. That's all that matters.
Yeah, if anybody knows of a unicorn for sale, I'm definitely in the market for that. But it's got to be magical.
It's got to be magical, huh?
That's right. Well, we are running out of time here. Eric, so now if there are people listening to the show that think they're having experiences, do you have any suggestions on any resources if they want to contact you, or any organizations they can contact if they want to reach out?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, there's a lot of need for regressionists. I know a few out there, a lot of need for people, you know, like myself to talk to. Don't hesitate. If I don't answer right away, I do stay busy and I do help a lot of people, but I will do my best to get back with you. But Facebook is just fine. It seems like everybody uses Facebook these days. So, you know,
including the government.
It's very difficult for a person to come forward for the first time and talk about it, because the moment they send a text, they go, okay, now I'm officially crazy. And, you know, I know that feeling. I know the everything, you know, that you go through. I know the emotions. I know the steps in the whole way. And I'd love to help any way I can.
Very good. So they should just look at your name on Facebook? Eric
Absolutely,
Mitchell.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Also, check out his videos that he has on YouTube right now under his YouTube channel. Eric, I'm very proud of you for putting those out.
Well, it's difficult. I am terrible with electronics, and it's very, very hard for me to talk to a box. So, you know, I got used to radio and talking in front of people, but now a box, and that's difficult. But I think over time, a lot of things that I'll say might help a larger amount of people out there.
What's the name of your YouTube channel? I want to check it out tonight.
Oh, just Eric Mitchell. I've got just a couple of short videos up, and learning how to, you know, deal with the whole YouTube world. But nothing good, but good feedback so far. So that's great. No hecklers. I expected a lot more of those, but I actually got, you know, scientists and stuff like that checking things out. So, you know, if the science community is waking up a little bit, I am extremely happy, and any information they want to know, they can have it. I know what happened to me, and it's great to hear their feedback saying, no, this is why you had loss of vision, and this is why you had these sensations and all that. And I never thought I'd get those kinds of answers. So that actually made me pretty happy about, you know, going through what I went through.
Very cool. Eric, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. It's always a pleasure. We'll have to get you back on in the future because this is one of my favorite subjects. But thanks again for coming on tonight.
My pleasure, guys. Absolute pleasure. It's one of my favorite shows in the world to do. And if I'm free, I'll definitely do it anytime.
Awesome.
Hey, there's your new co-host, Jason.
Hey. you want to join the team?
Yeah, we throw him right on in there, huh?
Can't leave Maria out of this. who the hell would keep us in line? Yeah, who would keep us in line?
True.
You should hear Maria and I when we're unsupervised. It's pretty crazy.
Oh my God, no! Don't do it, Eric. It's a trap. Don't go back and listen to those.
Yeah, don't go back to listen to last week. Show. Don't do that.
Just move forward, man.
Right.
All righty. Well, thanks, Eric. It's a great pleasure. And we'll have to get you back on soon.
All right. You guys have a great night. Take care.
You too, hon. All righty. That is one of my favorite subjects in the whole wide world, UFOs. And hopefully I'm not, because we're talking about UFOs a lot lately, I'm not creating some sort of psychic beacon to where they're going to come down and probe me or anything like that, because it's been a long time.
Well, see, you avoid me anytime I try to talk about UFOs with you when we're unsupervised. So I think one show, I think you'll be fine.
Oh, you know, put me in the ocean with a bunch of sharks or a bunch of venomous snakes around me. It doesn't bother me, but I swear the one thing that freaks me out, those little green or gray, big almond-shaped eye bastards.
So, whenever I do my astral projections tonight, I need to come towards you with those shifty eye gray bastards.
Yeah, no. I'm good. Astral projection, are you doing that?
No. It's a joke. Okay. It's okay. But it's just something to give you nightmares about and make you worry.
Oh, God. I just watched literally a few hours ago of how our government was involved with psychic research and remote viewing, and it was a really good documentary, and the program was going for like 20 years, and the CIA and the SRI group at Stanford were doing all these crazy things with remote viewing, and it was really fascinating how accurate these psychic people were, being able to project their consciousness to various places and learn intelligence that was later proved to be accurate. And so I was thinking, man, that would be kind of cool to figure out how to do that. Then you could, like, spy on things.
So have you not watched the movie Men Who Stare at Goats?
Oh, I just watched it, like, a week ago. That's great.
That's great, not your documentary you're talking about, right?
No. This is an actual, like,
okay.
Documentary. It was all the people the information's been declassified, so it's all the people that were involved in Stanford and CIA and stuff. It's really fascinating. Like, why would the government put that much money into a program if it was fruitless and run it for 20 years. So there, to me, there has to be something behind it.
Well, there always is. They're never going to tell us. I mean, it's just like when they were saying that they allotted $22 million to study this. Are you kidding me? This has been in the black budget for many, many years. They take the money. The American people are stupid because we don't watch the budget. We just want to live our daily lives unaltered, uninterfered with, just leave me alone, and nobody's paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah, well, as long as nobody's projecting their consciousness into the bathroom while I'm taking a bath with my bath bomb, fizzy things, we're good.
Oh, my God. No, you shouldn't have told me that.
I got a bath bomb right here for tomorrow. It's going to be amazing. I'm such a girly guy.
God.
If anybody saw me, I'm really not feminine looking.
No,
I would never
get
transgender.
No, you definitely wouldn't. But, you know, girls like that sensitive type. So, there you go.
Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. Our Facebook page is tanking, continually going down the drain in terms of activity.
I kind of think I know what's happened. So, but I'll talk to you about that later. I think it's because you're sharing instead of stealing the picture. Try that and see if it helps.
We got to figure it out because we went from reaching 6 million people a week, and now we're under, last time I just checked, like 236,000. So something's crazy. We got to figure out the Facebook algorithm so that we can get our numbers back up.
Well, it didn't help much that I got shadow banned with my one post that they removed. So, you know, that was my second naughty thing that they smacked my hand on. So,
yeah.
I'm just a rebel, Jason.
I know you can't please everybody out there. Like I've mentioned in the past, you could post a picture of a cute little otter and it's going to offend somebody because they had a traumatic otter experience of when they were five and they report it and then we get blocked and shut down.
This is true. This is true. We got too many snowflakes running around out there.
That's a fact. Well, with that, we'll see everybody next Sunday at 8 p.m. West Coast time for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I don't know what is going on that week, but I'm sure we'll have something. Maybe we won't have a guest, and then we can just be ridiculous, because I really enjoy that.
I think we do. I think Sherry told me we had a guest. And I am not a good host for not knowing. Ivan Henry. Is our guest for September 1st. It's going to be September,
cool.
Jason.
I can't believe it. Wait, is it me or does time seem like it's going by really fast? It seems like months are just blazing by. I'm getting fatter and older overnight.
No, that's what happens. Time goes by really quick when we get older. So I just turned 50 this year, so apparently now I'm on the back slide of life and downhill pretty quick, so I'm going to have a good time while I'm still here.
I'm not far behind you. I already feel like I'm over the peak and heading down the other edge. But anyway, so yeah, hope everybody has a great week, and I'm going to go find some food, and we'll see everybody next
Sunday.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.